Hello and welcome to the Hornets and Heartbreak podcast. My name is Mark Bernacki and I'm here with my co-host Tim Rogers. What's up, Tim?
What do you do? Look at Mark.
I'm doing pretty well, man. The Hornets are on a two-game winning streak. We beat the Cavs on Friday night, but more importantly, Tim, we beat the Boston fraudulent Celtics on Sunday on ESPN. That game was never really that close. It was a beautiful thing to watch, bro. What were some of your favorite moments from that game, Tim?
As great as it is to see the Charlotte Hornets win on national TV, there is nothing sweeter than beating the brakes off the Boston Celtics on national TV. It was great. Our starting five that game was really just in sync and on fire. The jump shot nearly 40% on threes. We had everything rolling. Our defense looked solid. It was just one of those rare, glorious games where everything turned up Hornets.
Yeah, bro. You mentioned our starting five had everything going. Our starting five was Devontae Graham, Terry Rozier, Cody Martin, Miles Bridges, PJ Washington. Those players had 24 points, 21 points, 13 points, 20 points, and 22 points, respectively. That's like, I think, close to 100 points just in our starting lineup alone, without our bench even being involved in that. So yeah, our starters just really had it going. I'm also looking at the stats right now. PJ plus 25, Cody plus 29, Miles plus 24, Devontae plus 22, Terry plus 9. So, you know, all those players had very, very good games. Three of those dudes had double-doubles. It was just a sick game. We were shooting the lights out. And then also watching the Celtics, like you said, struggle was pretty fun too. You know, Jaylen Brown, 8 for 22. That was pretty sick. Jason Tatum, 6 for 16. 1 for 5 from 3-point line. Also a minus 28 in plus minus with 5 turnovers, bro. So yeah, the Celtics seemed a bit off, and it was nice to beat them for sure.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to take too much from it just because the Boston Celtics are losers. They went out there and they did what they always do. They got smacked on national TV by a winning franchise filled with winning players. And yeah, you know, you don't pat yourself on the back when you beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. You just take care of business against losing teams.
You had that tweet on Sunday, Cody Martin's outplaying Jaylen Brown. That was solid, bro. I like that one. Newfound Cody Martin fan, Tim Rogers here. You used to be the biggest detractor of Cody Martin's play. Now you're tweeting about how good he is. So he's really changed on that note.
Yeah, you know, you could say it's a dark point in the season, but I enjoyed it. I do like Jaylen Brown, but yeah, I mean, whenever you have the opportunity to slander a Celtic and put up a Martin, I mean, you have to do it. It's pretty much our job.
All right, dude, let's get into some dicey territory here. I'm going to state a fact here. Terry Rozier is a better player than Kemba Walker right now. I don't think that it's even that close. Kemba's shooting 35% on threes. Terry's shooting 40%. Kemba's shooting 41% from the field. Terry's shooting 46.5%. Kemba's averaging 18 points per game. Terry's averaging 20.5. Terry has the edge on Kemba defensively. Terry also is a slightly better rebounder. Kemba averages one more assist than Terry Rozier per game, but that's like literally the only thing that he is doing at a better level right now than Terry Rozier. I can hear people making the counter argument now, like, but Kemba's on a much better team. He doesn't have to score as much. Like, okay, I'll give you that, but then why is he not scoring as efficiently as Terry Rozier? Even if the Celtics are better than the Hornets, like, why is Kemba not scoring as well as Terry Rozier? I just think that it's clear, Tim, that we actually won that trade. 2 years later, it seems you know, would have been crazy to say that at the time, but we definitely won that trade. We've talked about it before on the podcast. Just watching those two go head-to-head, I definitely would have preferred to have Terry Rozier on my team than Kemba in that game. Terry was getting a lot of assists. You know, he had like 5 assists in the first 5 minutes of that Celtics game. He was dishing it out. He was hitting threes. It was awesome to watch, dude. Terry Rozier's had a great season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. And like, you know, maybe if they were on the exact same contract, it'd be more of a question. But Terry Rozier next year makes about $17.5 million, matched with Kemba Walker's $37.5 million. Yeah, I don't think they can expect an excess of $20 million in value from that. Yeah, great trade by us. And yeah, once again, you know, got to give Mitch Kupchak his praise. I know a lot of fans were freaking out when that happened. Jordan hired a UNC guy. Yeah, including us. But, I mean, you look at that starting lineup we had, and those are, you know, those are really all of Kupchak's guys. Yeah, definitely nailed the trade. Got an asset for Kemba, which, you know, we did criticize him for, you know, not getting a draft pick maybe, or trading for Markelle Fultz like I wanted at the time. But, yeah, clearly that worked out. It turns out that Mitch Kupchak knows more about basketball than we do.
Yeah, very true. Very true, dude. I wanted to point out that Terry Rozier has been getting a lot more assists recently. Like, I don't know if you've noticed that just watching the game. Like, it seems like he's clearly trying to get more people involved. And that's super impressive to me because I would say for, like, the first half of the season, I was like, all right, Terry's good in his role, which is, you know, shooting and going out there and getting buckets, which is really, really good. That was my whole thing was, like, Terry as a bucket getter, very, very fun player. Can't do that much else. But since LaMelo's gone down, he was averaging 3 assists prior to LaMelo getting injured. But since LaMelo's gotten injured, he's been averaging 6 assists per game, which is pretty solid. Pretty solid for like a 2-guard, you know? He's not necessarily our point guard. Most of the time, Devontae is. So I think that's pretty solid. And the fact that he's able to get other people involved and like kind of switch up his role. Yeah, just super impressive, dude. I think he's an awesome basketball player. He deserves an honorable mention for most improved player in the league this season. He's not going to get it because like Julius Randle, Jeremy Grant, whatever. But he deserves a nice little honorable mention in that race.
Yeah, granted I'm biased, but I have him above Grant. I'm second to Randle.
Just because Grant has what? Like on a bad team or what?
Yeah, Grant's kind of tailed off. I mean, he definitely, what he did was impressive. You know, congrats on leading the Pistons to like 12 wins and, you know, putting up empty buckets every night, you know, real big pat on the back. But yeah, I mean, I think what Terry's done's more impressive. He hasn't been able to just run the Terry show all season. He's worked great off ball. He really adjusted to his role. His defense is massively improved. Yeah, I mean, just that, man, that shooting is so valuable. His next contract is going to be pretty fascinating because the guy's still pretty young, shooting ages very well. And yeah, I mean, he's getting up to near, you know, 7-8 attempts a game. I mean, that is some serious stuff.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, dude. I think he would have like a better case for most improved player if somehow like we just deleted his last season, but it's been more of like a, like his last Celtics season to now is a massive leap. But if you throw in like last season, he also was a big improvement from the previous year. So like his 2-year improvement is incredible. But then like the 1-year improvement isn't as impressive as somebody like Julius Randle or Jeremy Grant. But like his 2-year improvement is wild.
It is insane to watch Randle play now. You know, we caught the Knicks game last week. And I mean, those tough fadeaways that he's making, all those jumpers, his ball control, it looks like a totally different player. I remember we bashed on the Knicks earlier this season about how depressing it would be to get RJ Barrett with the 3rd pick instead of LaMelo Ball. But Barrett has looked a lot better. And yeah, Randall, I'm happy that he's going to win Most Improved. I liked him at Kentucky. I was bummed that, you know, he broke his leg like 2 minutes into his NBA career. And yeah, I mean, that shooting is insane. That should give every big man that, you know, has had a streaky shot hope.
Yeah, for sure, dude. I remember when they signed Julius Randle, that was like the most depressing signing, like similar to the way we thought Terry Rozier coming to the Hornets was depressing. Like it's, those two situations are very similar because Julius Randle for the Knicks, like they were like expecting to get Kevin Durant, right? And instead they get Julius Randle. But he's worked out pretty well there. And that was like a classic, like just like depressing use of money, but his contract has turned out to be a very good one.
Yeah, man. I mean, his contract's not even fully guaranteed. That last year, I think he only has $4 million guaranteed. That is insane.
Mm. Yep. Yo, let's go back to bashing on the Celtics real quick. Oh, yeah. You and I both hate the Celtics, so let's just go ahead and talk shit about them a little bit more. Dude, they're in such a bad spot right now that Jabari Parker is playing 15 minutes a night for them. That shit's wild. He only played in 3 games for Sacramento prior to being traded to the Celtics. 3 out of 44 games, you know it's bad when somebody who wasn't getting minutes for the Sacramento Kings comes to your team and is contributing. I like pretty much thought he was going to be out of the league, and now he's playing a decent amount for the Celtics. That was pretty weird to see. My brother actually lives up in Boston right now. I'm going to visit him next weekend. I'll be sure to spit on a couple Celtics fans while I'm up there, bro.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's tough to go from, you know, a franchise like Sacramento to an even worse franchise, but I'm glad that Jabari's making the best of it. Yeah, that's pretty depressing. The Celtics aesthetically also are just one of my least favorite teams to watch. I will admit that Tatum and Brown are both very talented, but something about their team, man, there is just, I don't know, there's just no entertainment value there for me. And don't give me the, oh man, you don't appreciate defense. Oh man, the stuff that Marcus Smart does, you really just have to watch the game to get that. Get the fuck out of here with that. The Celtics suck, and I can't wait for them to lose in the first round.
Yeah, dude, and they gave us all of their good players. Gordon Hayward, Terry Rozier, and Brad Wanamaker. You know, all former Celtics. I think it was Isaac that pointed out our entire team is made up of former Celtics players or players that were drafted by the Hornets / acquired in a draft day trade like Miles Bridges or like an undrafted free agent. It's all former Celtics players or like draft picks by the Hornets that are on our team right now. It's kind of wild.
My God, that is true.
Yeah, dude. Isn't that insane? We don't have a single player that like played somewhere else and then came to the Hornets. It was either Celtics or Hornets players. That's it.
Man, yeah, I know that's how like the Buffalo Bills are, which is taking a bunch of ex-Panther players. But hey, I mean, why would you want to wait around at that, you know, dying franchise? So yep. Can't blame him for coming to the big Queen City, baby.
My brother who lives in Boston, he goes to Boston University right now for grad school. He texts our family group message every once in a while, like, you know, it's like April. He's like, how is it negative 20 degrees or whatever? I'm exaggerating that, but he's like, dude, how is it snowing? It's like April 20th and it's snowing outside. So he does not like the cold weather. Neither did Terry Rozier and Gordon Hayward. They got out of there, moved to a better franchise, as you pointed out.
Yeah, honestly, if I lived in Boston and I knew if I went into a bar, the Celtics game would be on, I would stand in 20 below weather. Can't blame it.
All right, dude, let's talk a little bit about Miles Bridges. He, you know, we do this, we've done this a couple times now on a past couple episodes, but I just got to point out he is averaging 16.5 points per game after the LaMelo injury, whereas before he was averaging 9.5 points per game. So similar to Terry Rozier, he's stepping up. He's filling in a role when we need him to. And he's also shooting a higher percentage from three than Terry Rozier right now at 40.7% from three. That is wild. I saw that on Basketball Reference and I was like, holy shit. Miles Bridges, bonafide good shooter, dude. I've said it last time. I'm saying it again. He's just a good shooter from three.
Yeah, it is nice when you watch him where you're like, oh man, that shot's actually going to go in. And I guess something about, you know, lefty shooters, I think their shot always just kind of looks aesthetically worse, even though I don't think it actually is. You know, I think it's just kind of jarring to see. And I think Miles has a little bit of case of that. I saw he's on pace to become the first Hornet / Bobcat to ever have a 50-40-80 season as well. 50% from the field, 40% from three, and 80% from the line. He was at 95% for a while, but, you know, when you shoot half a free throw a game, I mean, that's really just two misses and that goes down. So I think that's really the next big thing Miles has to incorporate into his game is maybe, you know, embellishing contact a little more, getting a little more finesse on his shots instead of just trying to power through dudes. Because even if he could get to five free throws a game, which seems very attainable for someone like him, who will hopefully, you know, be the starter or sixth man for us next year, if he can get the free throw attempt rate up and keep the 3-point, you know, anywhere from 38% to 40%, that'll be very exciting for max contract Miles.
Yeah, you said that name to me the other day as a joke. I don't know, man. If he keeps on playing like this, here we go, max contract Miles. 16.5 points per game. That's pretty solid, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. I went from wishing we had Kelly Oubre to happily eating my words. It'll be interesting to see him once everyone gets back next year. You threw out the tantalizing potential lineup for us. You want to throw that out there?
Yeah, Devontae Graham, LaMelo Ball, Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward, Miles Bridges, and PJ Washington as a starting five. That is a nice starting five, dude. That starting five is very, very good. Then you got Malik Monk coming off the bench, Devontae Graham, Jalen McDaniels, Cody Martin, whatever. That is a nice, nice, nice starting lineup. And it's the same thing with, like, you know, we have Miles, PJ, and Gordon Hayward. That's, like, kind of enough size to, you know, get some sort of paint protection. Speaking of paint protection, you mentioned earlier that we're 18th in the league in defense this season, which is absolutely wild considering that we, like, don't have a real center. It's pretty cool that we've been doing that well defensively.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's one thing Borrego gets a lot of shit for. The three-point defense can be frustrating to watch. You know, everyone just collapsing the paint. But, I mean, clearly it's working. When you look at our personnel, I don't know how many players on the team we have that you would consider an above-average defender. Off the top of my head, I mean, Miles has gotten better on defense this year, so is Terry. I wouldn't really consider them, you know, like cornerstones of, like, an awesome defense, though. And, yeah, like, no big man. Cody missing all that time. Bismack having stone feet and stone hands. Very impressive by Borrego. I would expect him to get an extension here soon. And yeah, good for him. You know, we got to give credit where credit is due.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned that you don't like consider Miles like a top defender. Miles, I know, considers himself a top defender. I listened to a clip earlier on the Hornets Instagram, like Real Access. He was like, you know, somebody's got to defend the best player on the other team. Why not me? So he views himself as a lockdown guy. I love it. I think PJ also is focusing on his defense a bit more this season. And that's what PJ has got to improve on the most. Because if he can be a legit starting center and he can play a good enough defense to be a legit starting center, whoo, look out, bro, because this team is going to be dangerous in the upcoming years.
Yeah, I think that's the number one thing to look for because, you know, we're pretty confident in Ball. We have another year at Terry. You know, hopefully we'll re-sign Monk and Graham. But yeah, I mean, I think what's really going to change a lot for us is if PJ can become like 28 minutes a game at center and then you kind of fill in around that, that is going to open up a lot of stuff for us. That's exactly what every team is looking for, a small ball five. A concerning thing with PJ Washington, only shooting 46% on twos this year. But when you kind of look at his role, you know, I don't think we're really ever going to ask him to run a ton of pick and roll and or, you know, like call post ups for him. So, I mean, if his shot can fall like it did against Boston, it's crazy. You could just see the confidence in him just, you know, just popping and, you know, getting good elevation on a shot, a lot of arc. You'd love to see it. Yeah, if he can do that, very excited for him. Again, another good Gordon Hayward call is to leave those two overrated forwards in Boston and go to an actual winning forward combination in Miles and PJ.
Hot take, Jalen and Jason, not as good as Miles and PJ. Yeah. So we've been running that small ball lineup, the like not as nice version, the injured version with Devontae and Cody Martin in the starting lineup instead of LaMelo and Gordon Hayward. But even that's been going pretty well. You know, we've won the past two games. We've been playing a tight rotation, though. It's been interesting to see what Borrego's been doing. Only bringing in Bismack, Jalen, and Wanamaker off the bench. Only playing eight people, basically, for these past two games, the past two games that we won. That means that Cody Zeller, Caleb Martin, and Vernon Carey Jr. have all been getting no minutes. I think it's strange to like play Biz over Cody Zeller, but JB's been switching up his preference between those two like 1,000 times this season, so I'm not going to read too much into that. But yeah. Vernon Carey Jr.'s season seems to be like done. We're pretty much not going to worry about development for the rest of the season. He's not going to play that much. And then Caleb Martin just occasionally is just in and out of the rotation.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously we got LaMelo coming back. And most importantly, that means we only have like three more games of watching Brad Wanamaker, hopefully, if there's a God.
Yeah. I do hope we get to stop watching him. I have to point out, dude, Brad Wanamaker has kind of a nice layup package. I've been impressed with his layups, but that's about it. He sucks at shooting, so he cannot play on a winning team in the NBA. That's a fact.
Yeah, Mark, just make a note there. Around 20 minutes, you said compliment to Brad Wanamaker. Might want to cut that out.
All right, Tim, I'll consider it. All right, bro, let's move on to delusional Hornets fan take of the week. Hornets Twitter bro was saying we should tank after we lost like 6 out of 7 games there. I'm not even talking about like random Hornets fans. I'm talking about like reputable Hornets people just being like, we should tank and get the 15th pick in the draft, whatever. A couple months ago, the same people were saying we're going to win a playoff series. It just annoys me. It's like a pet peeve of mine when people just like flip flop between like the different ends of the spectrum, depending on how the games are going. I think I've been like fairly consistent the whole season, you know, like, we're going to be like the 6, 7, 8 seed, whatever. That's what I've kind of thought the whole time, except maybe like the very beginning of the season. So in the standings right now, we are the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference. Miami has 32 wins and 30 losses. We're 30-30. The Celtics are 32-29. So it's possible we move up to that 6th seed. It's pretty much a lock that we're going to be in the play-in game, knock on wood, because... I mean, the Chicago Bulls are at 26 wins. There's only 12 games left in our season. Like, we would have to lose, I don't know, 10 or 9 out of the next 12 for us to not make the play-in game at this point. And we have an incredibly easy May schedule coming up. So I do think that the Hornets will definitely be a play-in team. It'll take a little bit of a winning streak to move up to the 6th seed, but definitely still possible.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, I mean, I'm not going to pretend I wasn't calling for us to tank after the LaMelo injury. I was like, well, maybe, you know, I assume Gordy would get hurt as well. But I mean, yeah, now we're too far down the line. It is annoying, the flip-flopping. You are a middle of the road mark. You like to keep it nice and moderate. Sorry, I totally forgot what I was going to say.
No, but I mean, like, at least you said we should tank immediately after the LaMelo injury. These people that I'm talking about, like, LaMelo gets hurt, and then they're like, no, we're still going to be the 4th seed. And it's like, get out of here. Like, that's not going to happen, right? We're gonna drop a little bit with LaMelo getting hurt. It's just a fact. But then we drop a little bit, and then they start to overreact. Like, oh, tank. It's like, nah, he's coming back soon. We'll be all right. Gordon Hayward's coming back eventually. Malik Monk's coming back soon. We're 30-30. We're not, you know, 20-40. I mean, let's be realistic here.
Yeah, no, that's one of my biggest pet peeves. You know, I'd say the average NBA fan has gotten a lot smarter over the last 20 years. You know, and the writers are much better, just coverage in general, a lot better. But I think a lot of times now, people get so caught up in, like, you know, whether it be like the process Sixers or like, you know, OKC, how they built things up, where, like, you know, no one, you know, people just talk shit about a 4 seed that's clearly not going to win a championship. But what it comes down to is Charlotte Hornets very unlikely to ever win a championship. If you're not one of, like, you know, realistically, you know, every year there's 4 teams that can win a championship. You know, only one can win. And then there's 5 teams that are looking forward to draft picks. So there's 21 other teams pretty much in limbo. And people are clowning on Knicks fans right now for being really excited about, you know, their 9-game win streak in the middle of the season. Yeah, man, that's what being a fan is all about. And sometimes it's okay to just love a 6th seed. You know, you're not going to win a championship. Just have fun. This has been the most exciting Hornets season that any of us can remember. I want to make the playoffs. Yeah, I'd rather do that than get like the 13th pick. Because you know what? Hot take of the week. Let's get in as the 8th seed. I want to play Philly. I want to see Philadelphia. Brittle bone bitch Joel Embiid is going to break down after having to chase PJ across the floor. And then we got 3 games with no Embiid. We are winning that series. LaMelo Ball is taking the crown of premier tall point guard. And yeah, it's going to be great. And then we'll play Boston in round 2, win that. And then who knows what can happen, baby.
All right. I think that was all said tongue in cheek from Tim there. But yeah, no, I mean, like, I look forward to the playoffs because, you know, it could be an exciting series. And all these young teams, you know, we got to start out somewhere. Let's make the playoffs this season. Next season will be the 3 seed. That's what's going to happen.
That's going to happen?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm excited, you know, like, on a more realistic note, I'm very curious to see how Terry would look against a playoff defense. Would people keyed into him a little more? That would be interesting. Obviously, how LaMelo would handle things. I don't normally buy into the, oh, get the young guys the experience. But I guess now that it is my team, I'm like, yeah, our young guys should definitely get the experience. You know, just kind of see how things fit a little more. I think it'd be good. You know, I'm sure it'd be humbling. I'm sure we'd probably get our ass kicked in five games against a healthy Philly team or Milwaukee. But yeah, nonetheless, I think it's important, you know, good way to evaluate our players and get them some reps.
Dude, I also think that Hornets series, like with LaMelo playing in it, will be one of the like prime time series, like whoever we play.
Especially
if it's like the Nets or Sixers or whatever, like that's going to be a prime time series. Like that's going to be one of the best first round series, I think.
Yeah, that's not going to be, we don't have to worry about getting like the Atlanta Hawks spot on NBA TV.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we'd get like the 7 o'clock TNT games.
Yep. All right, dude, real quick at the end here, somebody in our Hornets group chat on Twitter said he saw Cody at Gin Mill at 5:01 p.m. on Sunday after the game. Now, I was assuming this was Cody Martin, not Cody Zeller, because Cody Zeller just doesn't really strike me as a Gin Mill kind of guy. But for those of you who don't know, Gin Mill is not like a walk-in and sit-down kind of bar. It's the kind of place you go to starting like 11:30 p.m., dude. That's like your last spot of the night. Like you just went to a brewery and then you go to Gin Mill, or you just went to a pregame and then you go to Gin Mill. So not sure what my guy Cody Martin was doing there at 5:01 p.m. on a Sunday. But this got me thinking, Tim, what percentage of people at Gin Mill on Sunday at 5:01 p.m. do you think recognized Cody Martin? I think it's like 20%.
I'm going to give him 33%.
Okay. Explain yourself.
All right. Well, number one, when you see someone who's like 6'5", 6'6", walking around, they stand out. It's not going to be super packed. And for the quality of play versus actual amount of time on the screen, the Martins are very high. They throw their faces out a lot, you know, the twin stuff. I think that, yeah, I mean, he has noticeable hair. And if you just see that dude chilling by himself, especially right after a Hornets game, I'm assuming a lot of people that are at bars at 5 o'clock on a Sunday probably hang out at bars a good bit where they play Hornets games. So yeah, I'm going to think about 33%.
Interesting. So I do think it's worth pointing out that because he looks exactly like his brother, you pretty much have seen his face double than you would like a normal bench player. Like, I don't know. Like you mentioned Jalen McDaniels. Like you see a Martin twice as much as you see Jalen McDaniels' face, unless you're watching T-Wolves games, I guess. then you see his brother. I'm gonna go with 20%, dude, just because me and Tim looked up his height earlier. We thought he was a little bit taller. Only 6'5" on Basketball Reference. So like, you know, that's tall, but it's not like crazy tall. You don't automatically assume that's a basketball player. He does have some crazy hair. I mean, the hair would maybe be recognizable. I just don't think that there are that many devoted Hornets fans at Gin Mill at 5 o'clock on a Sunday that have seen the Martin twins play over the past 2 years. I could be underestimating the impact of the buzz in Buzz City here, though, Tim. I don't know. I just don't necessarily think that we've got too many people knowing what the Martin twins look like.
That's fair. I also live in somewhat of a bubble. I'm not going to lie. I thought I saw one of the Martins today at my job. And because like they do come around every now and then. A fair amount of Hornet players do. And so I was like, oh, shit. I was like, is that Cody? And then I was like, ah, is that Caleb? And then I was like, shit. Luckily, it's neither one of them. But if they were actually there, I was like, I would be way too embarrassed to walk up and be like, hey, man, which Martin twin are you?
Yeah, dude, they have different hairstyles. You got to get that memorized. It's hard to tell them apart when they're wearing their jerseys, though.
Just
get some flashcards out, bro.
Be like, 11?
He has like his number on like the back of his car, so you can tell which one he is.
Nah, I have a basketball in my car at all times. I'd be like, dribble behind your back. Like if it hits your foot, it's Caleb. I don't know.
Yeah, that's too funny. All right, listeners, email us at hornetsandheartbreak@gmail.com. Let us know what percent of people at Gin Mill you think would recognize Cody Martin at 5 o'clock on a Sunday. And if you've ever been to Gin Mill before. Tell us your favorite stories. We want to hear anything. Email us. LaMelo and Malik, Tim, seem like they might be back this Saturday for the Pistons game. So Tim and I are going to be recording our next episode Saturday night after that game, not the normal Friday morning release schedule. So look out for that Saturday night after the game, maybe Sunday morning also, just depending on how we're feeling. Be sure to sign up for the Patreon prior to the Saturday night game, and you can join us for the Zoom watch party. It's going to be hype. Hopefully LaMelo's back, and yeah, hope to see all of you there. Shout out to our Patreon supporters, Tim Rogers, Xavier Harvin, TC Cunningham, Isaac Black, Brandon Garcia, Austin Johnson, Rob McMillan, Evan Georges, Caitlin Ferland, and Jack Anderson. Hope all y'all are able to join us for the Zoom watch party on Saturday. The last one was a big success. And yeah, see you guys there.
All right. Yeah. Once again, thank you everyone for taking the time to listen. If you could be so kind as to share with a friend, share with a relative, do whatever you got to do to get the word out about the greatest Hornets podcast of all time. We really appreciate you listening. If you could take the time to rate, review, share, and subscribe, that would really help us out a lot. And thanks for checking in.
All right, Tim, it's been real.
All right, be safe out there, Liquor Mart.
Peace, bro.
Peace.